Land. This is Flame here, and I am here with screen name Sir Sapling, but who we all affectionately refer to as Sap. Sap, thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, it's lovely to join you.
So we're going to get this started the same way we start every interview here on our little pod. I'd love to hear your fandom origin story.
So it started a long time ago. I think we're at 6 years now, around 2014. I was in a lot of little fandoms before, never really sort of participated because I was 15 and full of nervous anxiety about anything. But through an artist called Lamonte, I was looking at their work for another fandom, found a bit of their Steve Tony fandom, just kind of fell in head first. Lots of fan art and fics, and then into the films, which I think was around AOU. So I started controversially. But I didn't end up like really making any work till 2017 because I just lurked relentlessly. And it was right before I turned 18, I ended up in some, which I don't think anybody knew at the time, which was probably good because nobody would have spoken to me any otherwise. And I ended up with some, in some like AA live streams they were doing at the time with Sab, and she sort of just poked me into other things, like the old bringing food to the lab server. And from that point, I just started relentlessly flirting with Ferret once I hit 18 and Ashes until they just sort of let me stay with them, which I'm very thankful for.
They are very hospitable, our Ferret and Ashes, that's for sure. So,
I mean, they weren't famous at the time, so it was easier to flirt.
Oh, well, yeah, the intimidation factor is a little bit harder for all the rest of us now. So I'm glad you got in on the ground level.
Oh, and I started with naughty fan art. So, you know, you win people over very easily with that.
Yeah, that's a way to a lot of our hearts. I'm not going to lie.
It works. It works every time.
So did you start with, like you said, with the movies with Ultron, like did you start then with MCU or did you hang up more in the comics?
I fully started with MCU. Like I knew what the comics were. And I'd looked at them, but at that point, I didn't even know what the MCU was, and that seems like an easier place to start. So I think right before, days before AOU came out, I watched the original Avengers film and Iron Man. I just marathoned everything, watched AOU and just came out and went, yep, this is where I'm stuck for a while. And it wasn't until, I think, it was 2018 I got into the comics because the 616 server had popped up for a while and I'd been in there since that sort of started. And I went, oh, I want to read comics. And then I tried and they're hard. You don't know where anything's going. And from after that, I went, oh, I'll read the Ultimates. That'll be easy. And then I just didn't go back to 616. I just stuck there. I was like, nope, this is where I'm staying. I like this.
And now you're alts. And I think, remind me, Ferret mentioned that you mod over there as well in the alt server.
I do. So it was during 2018, I realized every conversation I started in the 616 server led to alts, and I got a little bit self-conscious about it because I was like, oh, people don't want to talk about this all the time. And Ferret went, we'll just make a server. And I went, I don't know. And so she made the server for me and added me as a mod, and I just kind of stuck with it. I really like the little space we've built down there. It's really fun, and you know, people come in knowing what they're going to get into, so it's quiet, but it's really got a nice atmosphere.
That's nice. I think that that's especially in some of the, because there is a much lower barrier to entry in the movies. The vibe in a movie server is going to be a lot different than, because yeah, like you said, the comics are overwhelming, and we're going to have you back at a later episode and we're going to talk a little bit more about alts because I am very overwhelmed by the comics and I can't wait for you guys to kind of guide me through things. But before we get off on that tangent, I would love to talk to you about being an artist because I cannot even draw stick figures. So my first question is about the process of inspiration. So writers are constantly whining about how many plot bunnies we have. Is that something that y'all whine about as well?
Oh, definitely. And I should mention, I am on a much lower level a writer as well. So,
oh, I apologize. That's my fault.
No, it's all right. I don't write much, and most of it I do with co-workers. I cling to Ferret desperately because I'm not a strong writer. It takes me a long time. But when you have plot bunnies for writing and fics, you just end up sitting there going, oh, what do I make art? What do I make this? What do I make that? And
oh,
you
yeah,
end up just having to go, do I want to spend 2 weeks on this or do I want to spend 2 days on this? And is this a more visual idea? Is this an idea that I need to describes so everybody knows what I'm thinking? And also, do I want to work with someone else? Because art I can do on my own, but writing often needs someone to pat me on the back as I go.
Interesting. And then, so for the for the process of like, do I want to tell it visually or with words? Are there times where you've made a decision and then gotten a little bit in and been like, no, scrap that, we're starting something else?
I mean, often things will start as visual ideas and then I can pick them up as a fic. The biggest fic me and Ferrick wrote together is In Trouble Deep, and that started as doodles written for a friend. And then I showed the doodles to Ferrick and just managed to grab her with it, thankfully. So sometimes things start visually and evolve into fic. Sometimes things will start as a fic and I go, no, I don't know how to tell this. Cool, let's make it a drawing.
Okay. And is drawing the main medium that you use? Do you have a tablet? Do you do it on paper, like on paper?
I have a lovely little digital tablet and I'm fully addicted to it. I started on paper, but digital's faster and it's easier. Control Z is a beautiful thing. And so I just stuck with it.
And I'll get back to that in a minute, but I know something that our listeners might not know, and I want to make sure they do. So you are in art school, that's correct?
I am. I'm at university at the moment.
That's amazing. So we're going to return to that. But before I forget to ask this, because this was something when I mentioned to people that I was talking to a fan artist, a lot of people asked me to ask you about the etiquette around reblogging and reposting, because especially for fandom newbies, that navigation can get a little confusing. People might not even know the difference between the two. So would you mind unpacking that a little bit?
Yeah, I think especially young people I've noticed struggle with it. And that's understandable. It's a very sort of, the internet age is very new. I reposted and when I was, you know, quite young. And so it's a weird etiquette to get down. But generally the rule of thumb is, reblogs are amazing. Reblogs are the best things in the world. I read every single one that I get. I have my Tumblr set up. And even if there's not tags there, I will check every one, because they're your most direct form of feedback when you're a Tumblr or Twitter artist. We're not like AO3. We don't have a comment section. And though there are ways to leave comments, people don't do it because it's not a common way of thinking about art. But art gets lonely. Like, you're working on your own, you put something out, and you just sit there and you go, is it getting points? Am I doing anything? Has anybody seen this? And reblogs are your sort of main way of communication. I've got folders full of tags people have left me, because when you're down, they're the best things in the world. So reblogs are amazing, because also you're not removing credit from the artist. It's very easy to find your way back. And that's why reposts are a little bit controversial. Some big artists like them, and it's completely understandable, because reposts can be a way for you to reach a new audience if you're really big. But when you're little, and most fandom artists can be big in fandom but aren't big outside of it, they can just take views away from you, and it's awful. Like, I've posted work and you kind of hope it won't get famous, because if it gets famous, it'll get picked up by some whatever age person on Instagram, and they'll put it on their dedicated Steve Coney page, and it's along other work, and that's great, but they will get triple what you've done, and it's hours and hours of work to sit down, and you get 300 points on yours and they'll get 3,000 on theirs. And so you just kind of have to sit back and go, oh, well. And then underneath they'll write credit to the artist or credit unknown. And that's not enough, because nobody can find you. And even when they do put your name, they don't provide links, they don't provide sources. So people will look at it and go, I could go follow that, but most people won't. They click like and they move on. We understand how easy it is to have things nice and curated and put in front of you, but you're taking away from artists. And it's a brutal game. It takes full legal forms to get things taken away when, you know, they'll just go straight back to posting immediately afterwards. You can send in 3 DMCA forms and come back and look, and they've posted 2 more. And so it's just kind of like exhausting.
Yeah. Now, in terms of reblogs and the comments and things like that, I know artists are like, we're kind of like, if you don't know what else to say, even just an emoji is great. Or I loved this is fine. It sounds like that would be the same for you.
Anything. I mean, the best stuff I get is just keyboard spam.
Yes.
Keyboard spam, because it's the universal language for you don't know how to feel. And that's great for me, because it means I do know how you feel, and that you feel overwhelmed. And that's the best thing I can get out of it, is that you like what I'm doing. Keyboard spam is the greatest. And even if it's just, this is great, just one little line of tag going, I liked this. It's, you know, it sticks with you. because it's just a little bit of communication.
Yeah. And speaking of communication, and then you talked a little bit about collabing. What about commissions? How do you work and feel about those?
I don't do many commissions, mostly because university is just so big. But they're a little, I love them, but they're hard because you are communicating with a new person every time and every interaction will be different. And every commission will be different. People can be really excited to commission artists, but get a completely different response each time. Some artists are really happy to take your one line and move with it. But if you sit down with me, and Ferret can attest to this, if you will give me the colour of the shirt they're wearing, I'll ask you because I want to make you happy. You're paying me. So they're fun, but they are stressful. And there's a lot of, again, etiquette's really hard when it comes to commissions because it's not something most of us are taught, you know. And so artists can get quite easily harassed. I've luckily not had to deal with this, but a lot of my friends get harassed about their prices being too high.
Are you kidding? Fan artist prices are too low.
Exactly. Like,
oh my gosh.
Your price is too high because you're charging £30 for something I, you know, charge 10 for. They're doing that because they've seen other people charge 10 for. And, you know, fair be it to that other person, but some people are making this their livelihood. People are charging under minimum wage for their work. I charge under minimum wage for my work because you feel too bad charging what, you know, the wage should be. But also you want people, it's a competitive but weird market and people get really hostile about it.
I wish I was surprised, but humans are super fun that way. And, you know, a lot of us in fandom are really under-resourced. And so it feels prohibitive, even if you want that piece of art. I can understand the frustration, but taking it out on the artist is never appropriate.
Never. They are, a lot of the response people get is, well, why aren't you doing this for fun? It's like, yeah, it's fun when I do it. But your piece of work, no matter how much I may be invested in it, and I may think it's something I'm really excited about, it's work. It's always going to be harder than the thing I make for myself because I can put the thing I make for myself down and go somewhere else. So be patient with your artists. I know you're frustrated, but just keep open communication. And artists can suck as well. Like, we're not perfect.
That's a shocking piece of information. I'm kidding. So when I was a baby in fandom, I was told that if you don't want to commission something, but you have an idea, one of the kind of happy mediums is to be in a bang or any sort of another kind of collaborative event. And that's a way to work with an artist, but also the artist has also chosen, you know, your summary. I'm exclusively a writer. I've started to make mood boards, but I'll never be an artist. And so that's kind of my way to maybe get some visual representation for a story is to do a bang. What's been your experience on that front?
Bangs are the best way without pay to get to work with an artist. It's a little bit like organized friend meeting. You get to work on something, but it didn't cost any pay and they're having fun too. And I've really enjoyed the bangs and events I've done. I've done, you know, not too many, but quite a few. And they're all really fun. You're often working with people that are great, but I've also had them not go great. Like, I've never not finished one, but sometimes I understand the sort of how events can be really stressful for people to run and you have got to keep things organized and we understand that. But I've definitely been treating events like this is something I'm supposed to be doing and putting above other things. And when you're a student or just trying to put your life in front, I've had some mean responses where they go, no, you can't have another exception. And we go, well, you know, then we're not going to finish. And they go, cool, that's fine. It's, you know, it's an event. You don't have to be that mean to people. People have stuff going on and fandom, as much as I'd love it to come first, doesn't get to come first. During Stony Love Steve last year, I had a great time, but I was dealing with a very serious medical issue at the time. And I worked through it sitting at my desk in pain to get the work out. And I look back now and I go, oh God, we should have just quit. I should have just quit and gone to bed. But you feel so stressed out and pressured. So bangs are great, but make sure you've got the time for them.
Yeah. I mean, even as writers listening to this, that would be my same answer too. So speaking of timing though, I understand. I know writing is different for everyone. In the conversations I've had with fan artists, the process of creating is different for everyone. I think that's probably universal. But then I also hear people talking about things like it's really important to use references and kind of some of the nitty-gritty things of that. do you use references? Do they help things go faster? Are they something that you don't engage with at all? Kind of what's the deal with that?
I definitely grew up with that sort of idea that tracing and referencing was an absolute sin and nobody should ever do it. You should learn to draw from your heart. But no, nobody works like that. Nobody expects you to just, you don't know what a bucket looks like. It's not a crime to go and find a picture of a bucket to draw it. I think, you know, there's a line. Don't trace other people's work and claim it as your own. But I use references constantly. I have 3D posing apps I use for lighting, which means I get lighting done in a day, not a week. I Google poses to make sure actual human bodies can do them, because we've all made that mistake. We've all drawn 8-foot arms. And I love them for everything, even for shirts. I'm not a very good fashion designer, so I Google shirts and I stick them on and people go, oh, that's hilarious. And I go, yeah, you can go buy it. Go buy it. It's great.
That's fantastic. I love that because I use references for clothes in my fic because I would just put everybody in like jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh, that's all I did for ages. It was jeans, t-shirts, or Tony lived in a suit and tie for so long. And that was so bad.
I think I have Steve and Bucky in like t-shirts and sweatpants all the time because in my life, that's what they live in my brain. That's what they pretty much live in until I put them in a tux.
I mean, that's what I live in until I have to go outside. So I don't really blame you on that one.
No, no. I mean, and Bucky's, like, his arm hurts all the time. Poor boy. Poor boy. Just give him some soft clothes. I digress. So we talked a little about commissions and then about art school. And this is kind of where we're talking, we get the intersection of commerce and fandom and professionalism. And so I'm wondering, obviously being drawing for class and drawing for fandom are different entities. Can you articulate in a way how?
Well, so the best way I can explain it is when you're drawing for fandom, you are creating the most hedonistic work you can. It's anything my brain comes to and I get to do what I want because it's my free time and it's my art. And I used to draw for a way that I thought would please people. And then I just got to a point where I was like, nah, I'm going to draw them doing this because I want to. But art school isn't like that. Art school is, it's a bit like taking commissions really often, but you don't get paid. You get graded, which is, you know, not as good as money. And so my art school work is miles apart from my fandom work. Like, you can look at my art school work and it looks nothing like my fandom work. Because with fandom work, I do what's easiest. And, you know, I could push myself, but I don't want to. I'm having fun. With artwork, I'm paying to be there. So I have to make sure I push myself to the hardest degree I can. And, you know, as much as art degrees are really jokes on TV, they're really hard. Like, don't joke around with art degrees. I understand STEM degrees are a lot, but art degrees are, you don't get a break. You are working constantly and forever. And even if you're, you know, you've allotted yourself time to go have a break, you're still thinking about it because creative ideas don't tend to fit into hour-long time blocks. So it's a lot harder. You're often doing something to a prompt, which is fun sometimes, and sometimes you're just doing something you don't want to do, but you've got 5 weeks of it, so you've got to find a way to make it fun. And then once a week, you get to sit in a room with, you know, 10 to 30 other people, and they tell you what's wrong with it, in a nice way, and sometimes not in a nice way, because that's what art school is. It's learning to be better, but it's why I can't stand fandom unsolicited crit. I've gotten it, and every time I'm like, go away, I'm doing this for fun, I don't care. I don't have to be good for you.
Yeah, you are not grading me or providing me with any sort of money. So neither one of the commerces that I need to live in do you exist in. Go away.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Notably, I've once received a comment on a fic where we were accused of being homophobic because we didn't do a certain thing. And the response was, no, we didn't do that certain thing because I don't like it. So go away. You know, I was nice about it, but I'm not doing things for you. And unless you pay me, I'm not going to do that thing for you. And also you'll find out if you try to pay me to do that thing, I probably won't do that thing for you. Because, you know, as much as commissions are paid work, it's also, I'm only going to take paid work that I will probably enjoy or it's never going to get finished.
Yeah. That level of, I think, self-awareness and honesty is really important, not only in fandom, but in life. I'm really glad you're confident enough in your passion and your talent to be able to say that to strangers. I think that's really admirable.
I think, you know, everybody feels safer through the sort of isolation of a screen. And it can work in good and bad ways. You know, if you want to badmouth me, I can tell you to fuck off back and you can't do anything about it. So have fun.
That is fair. So speaking of things where we're hopefully not telling people to fuck off, they wanted this transition. Now is a time I'd love to know some recs. So like I mentioned offline, I would love to also get maybe some art recs from you, as well as some fic recs if you've got them. So hopefully you've got those prepared for me, question mark.
I definitely do. So to lead with the two fic recs, because they're short ones. I thought about including long ones, but I think long ones get sort of more publicity, whereas short fics need a little more. And one fic I come back to constantly is a fic called Simple Joys by That Sweet Mystery of Life. It's short and it's cute and it's about sort of life after the Ultimates. And it's Steve and it's Tony and their kid, and it's just like tooth-achingly sweet. But I can never stop reading it, ever. And then there's another fic called That Will Never Come Again, and it's by a dear friend of mine, S. Haler, or he goes by Red now, and it's only got 54 kudos, but it's incredible. It's sad, and he's very good at sad fics, and he hates that I don't let him write them more, but it's just so good, and it needs reading, even if it's got some scary tags, but I don't think any of them are quite as bad as they come off, because we tend to over-tag, you know. It's safer and let people make the choices they want, but I promise you it's a really lovely fic to read.
Well, certainly if it has 54 kudos, it's time for all of us to go and give it some more love. So I'm really glad that you've brought it to our attention. Are they both alts fics then?
They are both alts fics. I thought about including sort of fics from other universities, but they are my favorites and I can't lie about that.
No, we want your favorites. I'm just curious as to why I hadn't come across them before. And the answer is I haven't explored alts a whole lot. So I'll have to be able to do that. And then what artists should we be following on Tumblr or Twitter or wherever we follow them?
So it was so hard to pull out two for this because I've got hundreds of favorites and some of them are my friends and I'd love to sit there and sort of praise them forever. But the two I wanted to come down for the people to look at more were, there's an artist called 100,000s on Tumblr, and they just create some of the most artistically beautiful Steve Tony work I've ever seen. It's paintings and colors. Their colors are so vibrant, but it's less cartoony the way a lot of us draw, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the way I like to draw. But sometimes it's nice to see something a little bit more, like going back to your artistic roots of just gorgeous levels of work. And so I highly recommend going and looking at theirs. And then the other one is called, and I can't pronounce this name because I've never had to say it out loud, but Baname Art or Mero, or they're on Twitter, they're on Tumblr, they're on just about anything. And they pump out work so fast and it's all so good that you kind of wonder what's going on. And it's across every universe I can think of, which is one thing I really appreciate. A lot of universities get a little bit more representation than other ones, and that's fine. I draw certain things a certain way because I don't care and I want to draw what I want. But they consistently draw just a little bit of everything, and that's wonderful.
That's good to hear. I'm really glad. Ferret and I both love HT's work. It's utterly breathtaking, but I haven't come across Banamart's yet, so I'm going to make sure to do that as soon as we get off our conversation. Which, speaking of, that's all my questions. Do you have anything else you'd like to say to our listeners before we say goodbye?
Give the Ultimates a chance. I know I'm going to get to talk about this more in the later episode or later on, but give the Ultimates a chance. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's really fun, and we need more people in the service so I can talk about it more.
Well, with that kind of invitation, how could any of us turn it down? So, Sap, thanks so much for coming and chatting with us about art.
Thank you for inviting me. It was really fun.